Let's look tonight in John chapter 4. John chapter 4. I want us to consider tonight worshiping God. I want to learn how to worship God. I believe you believers would say the same thing. We want to learn how to worship God, don't we? I feel like I've been trying for a long time. May the Lord teach us tonight. John chapter 4, verse number 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go and call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus saith unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and that saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am. The Lord Jesus told this woman in verse 22, he said, You worship, you know not what. Now this statement does not apply to the children of God, to believers. We know what we worship. We know who we worship, don't we? We worship the God of the Bible. We worship God the Father, who in mercy and in grace and love chose a multitude of sinners that he would have for his own, who he would have as his children, who he elected to be part of his family. We worship God the Father, and so he sent his Son into this world that he might be the propitiation for our sins, that we who should not perish but have everlasting life. We worship God the Father. We worship God the Son. That is the eternal Son of God who became a man and came into this world to live a life not for himself, but a life for us. That is a life, a perfect life, a life of always loving God with all of his heart and soul and being and his mind. And we worship the Lord Jesus Christ, he, the Son of God, who went to the cross and died upon the cross, not for his own sins or for his own offenses, but that he may pay for the sins of all who look to him that believe in him. And we worship God the Holy Spirit. He who in mercy and grace came to us when we were dead in sins and gave us life, gave us spiritual life so that we could see the kingdom of God, so that we could see these things. And he has come to live within us, to guide us and lead us through this life. We know who we worship. So this statement doesn't apply to us. You know, the Lord Jesus said to her, ye worship, you know not what. That doesn't apply to the believer. But I must confess, after many years of attempting to worship the God of the Bible, it could be said about me, you worship, you know not how. What? Who? Yes. But how? This is something that I've been thinking about for a few months now. And I don't know that today versus a few months ago that, you know, when we come together, we come to worship, don't we? Mm-hmm. I want to worship. I want to worship in spirit and in truth. All of us have other things that we could be doing, right? Well, why do we come? We come because we want to worship God, because he's worthy to be worshiped, right? We come to worship. But I confess that many times I come and my mind is running here and there and my desire is to worship, but I find that I don't worship like I want to. But thankfully, the Lord hasn't left us in the dark. He taught us here how it is, if we're going to worship God, how it is that we are to worship. You notice that, verse 23 and 24. He said, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God, a spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. I think here he says that we must worship God in spirit. Spirit is in opposition to carnal ordinances. You see, the Jews were kept under the law until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that law that they were kept under, it had a lot of carnal ordinances. That is, that worship consisted in meats and drinks and diverse washings and cardinal ordinances. But thank God that was about to come to an end. And so when the Lord Jesus says that we must worship in spirit, it's in opposition through cardinal ordinances. And truth, I believe that speaks of being opposed to worshiping typically. You see, under the law of God that he gave through Moses, there were a lot of sacrifices and offerings that were offered. Countless, every day, more and more sacrifices. And why were those sacrifices given? Not to take away sin. Someone that may say, well, those sacrifices were given to take away the sins of the people of Israel. No. The scripture teaches that those sacrifices never took away not even one sin, because it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. It's not animals who have offended God. It's man who sinned against God. And so man must be the one who pays the price for sin. So why did God require all of those sacrifices? He required those sacrifices because they were types and pictures of his son that he was going to send into this world. And not one sacrifice or not one offering could picture everything that the Lord Jesus would accomplish. It took countless different ones. And still, at the end of all of that, all it gave was just a little bit of a shadow, just a little bit of a picture of what the Lord Jesus would come into this world and accomplish for us. But the time now had come when we would no longer worship through types and pictures, but that we would worship through the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. The one who, by that one sacrifice, put away forever the sins of those who God gave him to come into this world to save. So, we worship God not through things that we do. You know, by human nature, what we want to do something, don't we? It just comes natural to us. But we don't worship God by things that we do. That's not how God will be worshipped. And we don't worship Him through legal ordinances. We don't worship Him through typical offerings and sacrifices. But we worship Him through the Lord Jesus Christ. He who all of those types and pictures were, they typified. They spoke of Him. Aren't you glad that you live after the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm thankful. I'm thankful that I live now, now that the Savior has come. Those folks in the Old Testament, they saw just a glimpse. Just a glimpse. And now we have the full account of our Savior coming into this world and walking and living for us and dying for us. And we don't have to see it in shadows and in types and in pictures, but we have that word revealed to us clearly in the Gospels. So our worship of God must be spiritual, and it must be spiritually performed. Our worship has to be spiritual and spiritually performed, not by legal ceremonies. You know, you see, there's a mixture in what's called the church today. There's a lot of legal ceremonies still today. They're not the same legal ceremonies that there were in the law of Moses, but people have things, right, that they must do. Our worship is to be spiritual. It's from the heart. It's not in the things that we do. It's from our hearts. And I think we have a really good example of a man worshiping. Seems like this is the day where we speak of David a lot. But of a man worshiping God in spirit and in truth. When he said from his heart, he said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." That's a man worshiping God. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." You see, David's not doing anything, is he? It's from his heart. It's spiritual. "Forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." That is a picture of a man worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Worship is not doing something. It's not doing something. It's spiritual. It consists of love of God, faith in God, trusting in His goodness, meditating upon Him. Worship is a work of the heart. So when we come here to worship, that's the first thing that we should keep in mind. It's not so much about physically doing something, about coming here. No, we come here and we should remind ourselves that worship is from the heart. We must worship from our hearts. God seeks such that would worship Him in spirit and in truth. So let me try to just give a few points tonight about worship. And there's nothing original. Anything I ever say, you know, there's not going to be anything original in anything that I say. But I've been trying to read a book. I've heard Brother Streeter mention this book several times over the years, The Attributes of God by Stephen Charnock. I told our pastor, my dad, that I was reading that. And he said, "Boy, I wish you the best." I've never been able to quite make it through that whole book. Stephen Charnock, you could tell he spent a lot of time meditating. And he has, you know, point after point, bullet after bullet. It just goes on and on and on each of the attributes. And every bit of it is good. And so I tried to glean just some of the things. And he was writing on this attribute of God as spirit. And he used this verse that I'm trying to use tonight for this message. And he just gave so many good things about worshiping God. And so I want to just share some of those with you tonight. He talked about there's some prerequisites to being able to worship God. So there's some things that have to be in place before we can worship God. First of all, we must be born again. God has to do something for us before we can worship Him. He has to give us spiritual life, because otherwise the Lord Jesus said, you must be born again. Because without that new birth, we can't see the things of God. We can't enter into the kingdom of God, and we can't see the things of God. So we must be born again. A person worshiping that has not been born again, that cannot happen. Not true worship. Secondly, we have to be helped. God the Holy Spirit has to help us. I don't know that we see our weakness anymore. I don't know that I see my weakness anymore in life than when I try to worship. Whether it be at home or in the when we come together as a congregation, as a church. Unless God the Holy Spirit helps us, our worship will be dead. It will be empty. And when I have the opportunity to preach, that's always my prayer, that God would, in his mercy and grace, be pleased to bless. He has to enable us to worship, or we cannot. And it must be done in sincerity. Now, I almost hesitate to say that, because all of you, I have a feeling, go, well, that leaves me out. If it has to be done in sincerity, then I'm done. I'll never be able to worship. But I don't mean that as we talk about sincere, but not to be seen of others. We're not to come here so that others see us. Hey, you know, they really did good. They went to church today or tonight. No, it must be done. It must be done not to be seen of others, but because you and I, we want to worship our great God. And fourthly, our emotions must be engaged. You know, it's okay for our emotions to be engaged in worship. In fact, they must be. We read in Ephesians, singing and making melody to God in your hearts. Our hearts, our emotions are to be engaged in worshiping God. So, I don't want to make you nervous, but I'm about to give you 11 points. But I'm going to be brief on each of these. All spiritual graces should be engaged in our worship. Now, this message, if it's not for anybody else, it's definitely for me. Our faith, confidence in God must be engaged in our, if we're going to worship God in spirit and in truth, our faith must be engaged. As we talked about this morning, he that comes to God must believe that he is, and he's the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Our faith, our belief, unless we believe that God is a God of compassion, a God of mercy, and a God of grace, we cannot worship. We cannot worship a God that we only believe is a God who is holy and just and righteous. Why? Because if he was only holy, just, and righteous, there would be no hope for us. We would not be able, you say, oh yeah, you can, no, we would not be able to worship unless by faith we believe that he is also a God of mercy, of grace, and of love. That's the second thing. Love must be involved in our worship. If our hearts don't go out in love to God, we can't worship. That's not worship in spirit and in truth. Love of God for what he's done for us. Love of God that he didn't just leave us to ourselves. Aren't you thankful that the Lord didn't pass you by? Amen. There's so many around us. They have no interest whatsoever in God. We're no better than anyone else. It's only because God in mercy has given us a desire to come and to worship him. Love for what he's already done for us, and love for what he's still going to do for us. We are to love God for the things that are still to come. We know he's our Father, and he loves us, and he's going to give us good things to come. Worship requires that we have a sensibleness of our weakness. If we come thinking, oh yeah, I have the ability to worship God, guess what? We're not going to worship in spirit and in truth. We're weak. As we read in the scripture, we are perfect weakness. Lighter than vanity. Only with God's help can we worship. Spiritual worship seeks communion with God. I don't know, when you thought about coming tonight, did you think that thought, I want to go tonight and I want to have communion with God. I want to walk with him and I want to talk with him. I want him to speak with me. Speak to my heart. I want Him to speak to my heart that I'm His and that He's mine, that He's my Savior, that He loves me, that He lived for me, that He died for me, to commune with Him. Spiritual worship is full of thanksgiving to God. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. When we truly worship in spirit and in truth, our hearts are full of thanksgiving for what God has done for us. Sixthly, our worship should be full of joy and cheerfulness. Lord, help me with this. Our worship should be full of... Believers, we have every reason to be joyful and to be cheerful tonight. Regardless of the circumstances that we find ourselves in this world, God is on our side. How can we not be cheerful? God is on our side. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not also with Him freely give us all things? Shall God give His best and then yet not give us those things that we need? No, absolutely not. It's insanity to even think that way. Even though our worship should be full of joy, it also should be performed with reverence and with godly fear. We should never forget when we come to worship God that we are worshiping a holy and a righteous God. And we're sinners. And as such, we must worship with reverence and fear. Our worship should be full of humility. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart, O God, Thou will not despise. We must worship with humility. Who are we? Who am I? Who am I that God would take notice of me? Who are you that God would take notice of you and allow you to worship Him? Allow me to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Number 9, spiritual worship desires the glory of God. We desire that God be glorified, don't we? Amen. I'm so thankful that I have a place where I can come, and I don't ever worry when our pastor stands in the pulpit to preach or anybody else that he feels comfortable to ask to preach. I don't ever worry whether or not their purpose and their goal is going to be to glorify God. Only God is worthy to be glorified. To Him be all praise and glory and honor. As we read in Revelation, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and they were created. Number 10, and if you don't hear anything else I say tonight, please hear this. Our worship must be offered through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way God will accept our worship, if it's offered through the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, every blessing, spiritual blessing that we have from God, we only have it on account of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Every gift that God's ever given us, whether it be our election, our calling, our salvation, our forgiveness, our glorification, everything that God has for us is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And everything that we try to offer back to God must go through a pacifying mediator. I can worship God. I don't need the Lord Jesus Christ. God is not going to accept it. God is not going to accept you. He's not going to accept me unless we come to Him through the Savior which He has provided, the one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Number 11, worship requires that we forsake all known sins. Now, this is where it gets tough. Worship requires that we forsake all known sins. Our Lord John said that this is what the Lord Jesus taught. He said, "This then is the message which we have heard from him." From who? From the Lord Jesus. "And we declare it unto you, that God is light," that is, he's holy, "and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we're lying and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin." Now, believers, when you hear that, I'm confident that a burden of guilt very likely comes upon you as you read those scriptures. It does upon me. But when John says here, "But if we walk in the light," he's not talking about living a sinless life. That's not what he's talking about. Because if that was true, the blood of Jesus Christ would not need to cleanse us from all sin. We were born sinners. We are sinners today, and we will be sinners until God in his mercy and grace delivers us from this body of death. That's the only time when we'll leave sin behind. But what this verse is talking about is making a league. I don't know. All I know is what's within my heart. I don't know what's in other people's hearts. But I do believe that there is a sin that all of us are most prone to. And I believe it's probably different for most people. But there is a sin that attacks us and we're most prone to than other things. It's easy to get tired of fighting the flesh. Is it not? It's easy to get tired of fighting and just to give in. Well, I'm still going to worship the Lord, but I'm going to allow this in my life. God won't accept our worship. Our Lord Jesus, he talked about, if you have some type of quarrel with your brother, you go take care of that, and then you come and worship. That doesn't mean we'll ever be without sin, but I think you know what I'm talking about tonight. I know what I'm talking about. May God give us the grace to forsake those things that get in the way. We can still come and we still try to worship, but if there's something that we've signed the league with, a sin, we're not going to worship. We're not going to enjoy the presence and the fellowship of God as we would otherwise. Now, let me just share a couple other things with you. I hope you're asking the question like I have been asking for months. Do I worship in spirit and in truth? God, the Lord Jesus said that God seeks such to worship. And he said that if we're going to worship, we must worship in spirit and in truth. Do I worship in spirit and in truth? I believe one of the things that makes that question, makes us ask that question of ourselves, is our struggles when we try to worship. Do you struggle to try to worship? Most of the time I'm sitting where you're sitting. I have a hard enough time staying focused when I'm up here trying to speak. You say, well, yeah, you're ADD. Yeah, probably so. But I struggle to stay focused up here. But when I'm sitting out in the pew and I'm trying to worship, I find my mind, it runs here and it runs there, and I'm thinking about what needs to happen tomorrow and what needs to happen Wednesday and all the stuff I have to get done, and when I get home, what I need to do tonight, and for you younger people, tests that you have this week. Our mind, it wonders, doesn't it, as we try to worship. So we question, do we worship in spirit and in truth? But I hope that this will be an encouragement to us. I believe that it's actually natural. It's natural for us as sinners, for our minds to wonder. I will quote a quote verbatim from Stephen Charnock. He said, listen to this, I thought this was so good. He said, "We bear in our bosoms a nest of turbulent thoughts, which like busy gnats will be buzzing about our minds as we attempt to worship." Is that not true? It's like our mind is full of these thoughts. They're like gnats. You ever been out whether in Mexico, the chaquistas? I don't know if y'all have ever experienced chaquistas. They're like the worst kind of gnats known to mankind. When you get out there, they're just all over. You can't get away from them. You know, at least with a horse fly, if you put your hand up, maybe they'll stay away from your ears. But not with these gnats. Well, that's what our minds are like when we try to worship. Isn't that true? They wander. They go everywhere. I want to encourage you not by excusing that, but by telling you that that's natural. That's the state that we're in today. As long as there is corruption in us, our natural corruption is going to fight against us trying to worship God. To believe anything else is foolish. And as long as there's a devil and we live in his precinct, he would like nothing better than to distract us from worshiping God. And when that happens, all you can do is try to bring yourself back. Try to bring your mind back. It's going to go away, and try to bring it back. We have to be aware when we're trying to hear God's gospel preached, when we're trying to sing praises to his name, that these gnats, these thoughts are going to try to draw us away. And all we can do is try to bring ourselves back into the worship. But don't despair tonight. I believe these struggles, there's some good in them. If there wasn't, I don't believe the Lord God would have left us to struggle as we do and trying to worship. So let me just give you these things and I'll be done. First of all, our struggles in worship, I believe they help us avoid spiritual pride. How in the world could we be spiritually pride, have spiritual pride, be spiritually proud, when we can't go 5 minutes in a worship service without our minds going somewhere else? It's impossible, isn't it? And I think our struggles in worship, they just remind us just how weak we are. Secondly, I believe that our struggles in worship remind us of the baseness of our natures. What do you mean? You say, what do you mean by that? Just how opposed our natures are to God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and it will always be flesh till we leave this world. Our natures, they're opposed to God, and it doesn't show up any more than when we try to worship God. And our minds are everywhere else. I believe this teaches us that unless God would have chosen us, we definitely would have never chosen him. Isn't that true? Unless God would have chosen us, we would have never chosen him. Why? Because our natures are totally opposed. By nature, we're opposed to God. I think thirdly, it reminds us of God's amazing grace. Isn't it wonderful that God doesn't just destroy us? His amazing grace, that though we fail and fumble and stumble, when we try to worship, he continues to provide a message through his pastor for us to come and try once again to worship God. And lastly, I think it reminds us and makes us thankful that we have a great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. He who is, you say, well, how great a high priest is he? He is so great. He's such a great high priest that he can make even my worship and your worship acceptable to God through his merit. What a gracious, gracious God we serve. I hope that can be a blessing to you as it's been to me. I want to learn how to worship. And I know I'm going to fail and I'm going to fall and I'm going to stumble. And yet I want to get up and try again to worship our God. For he's worthy of worship even though I'm not able to worship as I should. May the Lord bless his word. David, you want to dismiss us in a song?